Radio family, welcome. A very special edition of our public affairs show here on our intercom stations. Thanking you so much for your great company and welcoming you to Community Focus. Now, this is a special edition of this public affairs show in that one, I want to go ahead and make you aware that this entire interview will be heard on my blog post at WQLMG.com. What makes it extra special is the lady that I'm about to introduce to you, who, first of all, her last name is synonymous with an event that takes place every Labor Day weekend. And a lot of you, particularly those of you who are jazz aficionados, look forward to the John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival. I think I already gave it away. But this lady is not only the daughter of a jazz pianist, but of course she is also the daughter of a saxophone player, composer, and a jazz icon for whom the festival is named after. So what a pleasure it is to officially welcome, give her some Southern hospitality to the area of High Point, North Carolina, as I say hello to vocalist Michelle Coltrane. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Renee. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so nice.
So
you're so welcome.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you. This is a treat for me.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Our first time meeting.
Yeah.
And for you, perhaps your first time able to perform.
And my first time coming to this area.
Yeah. How has your visit to the area been thus far?
All I can think of is how green and beautiful.
Yes.
It is. You know, where I live, it's pretty dry.
Right.
In the Los Angeles area.
A lot of wildfires.
A lot of, you know, not very much rain.
Yeah.
So to see the trees and how.
Nice. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I think we might have kept a lot of it from you because we've had a lot of rain here. I wish we could send all
some
the rain that we've had,
no.
Yes, to send in your direction. But so happy to have you here. And for the next couple of days, just the atmosphere of what the community looks forward to.
Absolutely. I was thinking, I'm here with my guitarist and my producer that I work with, Shay Welsh.
Hi, Shay.
Hey, everybody.
He's hanging out with the, he's going to
yes.
be not hanging out today, but also playing on Sunday. My set's at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Wonderful.
And I have some musicians coming down from New York, but we were thinking with the lineup is just phenomenal. There's Lee Ritenour and Diane Reeves. My brother Robbie Coltrane is also on the event.
So this is definitely, Michelle, for you, really a family affair.
Amazingly, it's turning out
to be that way. Exactly. Now, Ravi has performed at the festival before. I believe it was about maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
That's what I heard.
And the first time that, you know, High Point and surrounding areas had a chance to see your talented brother.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it runs in the family. As I mentioned earlier, your mother, Alice, a famous jazz pianist and really one who advanced of all instruments, and a lot of us likely don't think about the harp as something that your mom was able to advance as far as the genre and even break some new ground in playing the instrument.
Right. And you know what's really nice is there are now younger generations of people and harpists.
Yes.
One by the name of Brandy Younger, who's an African-American harpist, who said she was to meet this girl and, you know, 10, 11 years after my mother's passing, for her to say, I love Alice Coltrane.
Wow.
I heard the record and then I knew I've heard some of her music and I wanted to play the harp. It was really beautiful. And I've noticed, I've seen the harp now with a few Solange Knowles. There was a harp. I've seen a few harps. But people are bringing them out, so that's really
absolutely
nice.
And I was trying to remember if Esperanza Spalding, I believe she plays.
I bet she would.
Yeah, and she's been a past performer as well. Exactly. But to know, especially the importance that this festival has such a great impact on our younger generation of kids. Because I was just thinking, and this is perhaps, Michelle, the first time I've been able to ask a vocalist and professional artist like yourself. And I was actually going to save this for the later half of our conversation. But now that we're talking about, or now that I'm mentioning it, What is your take, especially when we look at now a lot of our kids are already back in school. Many more will probably go back after the Labor Day holiday. But when we think about so many programs that have either disappeared or have been cut, one of them sadly on the chopping block are the arts and a lot of musical programs.
It's unfortunate,
it is,
isn't it?
It is.
Because my two favorite things were the PE time.
Mine too.
And the music classes.
Yeah.
And I grew up on the East Coast in Long Island, and I had in third grade, I think, the first option, I started on viola.
Yeah.
We could go to Sam Ash. We rented an instrument. It was just a part of the curriculum.
Absolutely.
And music class was, it was kind of an option.
Right.
But the clarinet, you could touch the instruments.
Exactly.
And, it was a wonderful.
It was. I missed that. I was along the similar lines. I was a woodwind instrument myself. Mm-hmm. I started out with the recorder before I went on to become, and I didn't become that world renowned flutist or flautist, the word seems to interchange, that I thought I would become. But I just enjoyed the love of learning music, how to read it. Didn't have a chance to learn how to write it or compose it, but to be around artists like you and Shay, to still have an appreciation for it. I love the fact when I was able to bring an instrument to the house. And to practice.
Yeah, it was. To try to get the reed and the clarinet.
Yes, drove my family nuts, but
after a while. But also being in an ensemble at a young age.
Exactly.
It was fun. So
it was too.
I had the opportunity, and Shay could speak to this.
Absolutely.
Because he has a music institute, the Shay Welsh Institute of Jazz.
Fantastic.
And he works with young people
in
Los Angeles. And he's also a teacher. And I think that's why he's tolerated me for all these years, because, working to get you allow people as the producer, when you take that role, you have to allow a person to kind of fall over themselves.
Exactly.
And let them kind of, develop in an organic manner.
Right.
And that's what I really enjoyed most about working.
Absolutely.
I have three musicians coming down from the New York area. Lonnie Plaxico is the bass player
nice.
Who played with Cassandra Wilson.
Yes.
So he was a friend from way back, and luckily he was available to come. Jerry Gibbs is going to be on drums, and his father was Terry Gibbs, who played with my mother way back in the day when my mother played Vibes, and he available to come as well. And then a young gentleman named Scott Collins, he's coming to be on piano, and he's like a phenomenon.
Wonderful.
So really looking forward to this group.
Absolutely.
To work with them again.
Likewise for us, who will have the wonderful opportunity to see you, Michelle, on stage. It really is a treat for us. Now, speaking of artists, I have to ask, there are a wide array of female vocalists like yourself, influenced by really both your parents, your mother and your father. But who were some that inspired you coming up outside of your mom and
dad?
What
you should say is Diane Reeves is going to be
on
this festival.
Yes.
And it's like I just kept blinking my eyes because I kind of stalked her before, seeing her at the Hollywood Bowl, and she'd come out in the audience, and I kind of like just stand next to her and follow her around. Kind of like didn't have a lot of words. I just kind of, because I've heard her words.
Exactly. It was just like, you're Diane Reeves.
Yeah, just to
Diane
lay
Reeves.
My eyes on her and be that close. So I used to listen to all of her music and
fantastic.
Very inspired by that. But, you mean like Living is the Living ones.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, you were mentioning Diane Reeves. What other artists, either past or present, come to mind who were an influence for you in your career?
Shay and I often talk about having music that's relative in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, of course, there's like a lot of the young, you see how the trend of singing, you hear how the kids are shaping the vowels now.
Right.
And even the kids that are studying jazz that I hear, and I said, let me hear what you got.
Yeah.
And the way that the kids were approaching it is, it's evolutionary like everything else. But I just got, it was like Ella 100 years, I think, last year.
It sure
and
was,
I listened to every single one of those tracks. And I thought, I was just reminded of how phenomenal, you know, phenomenal she was, right, and exactly. will always be.
Yes.
But also, I had kind of, I was in this era of, oh, scatting, you know, shoo-bop, shoo-weep, da-ba-deep, da-doop-a-doop, scooby-dee-doop. And I said, I kind of got away from it because I wanted to find some vowels and I wanted to find my own way to kind of make it current to me, you know? Yeah. So, because you heard what I just did, the shweep-bop, scooby-bop, dee-bop. That was what Ella was doing. And that was new then 100 years ago.
Right?
So I kind of stayed, and then I started listening to how Betty Carter would swi do woo see hubble, you know, like, and it's like, okay, I can use a little bit of that.
Right, exactly.
And I would, you know, listen to Diane Reeves, and I thought she does a lot of beep-bop, beep-bop, beep, you know, and then her whole Roomba kind of thing, you know, she got this big kind of bouncy voice.
Right.
And I think... you know, many other singers that I think you can draw inspiration from a lot of places.
Exactly.
Even horn players.
Right.
Back to the family again. We do a song called A Moment's Notice. That's an original Coltrane composition that I wrote lyrics to. Mm-hmm. And we don't let a lot of people write lyrics. There's only so much Coltrane library.
Right.
Well, the John Coltrane library. Mm-hmm. He passed away at 40 years old. So every song would have had someone's lyrics to it.
Right.
And so when Laurier and my mother had decided years ago to not allow it, so I actually got to do it. I was humbly approaching, you know, a way to write some lyrics to a tune called
Fantastic.
Moments Notice.
Yeah.
And what I did is I learned the solo. I scatted the solo that my father scatted on the record.
Wow.
And that also... piqued a part of my brain of an approach, yet it'd be difficult.
Yeah.
Because a horn it's like the way it jumps around is not, you know, so much exactly the way a voice would move.
Right.
But it was a nice little workout.
Nice
workout.
I can only imagine.
And I said, wow, we were thinking, well, we should learn some more, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, let that be part of the work. So it's not just vocalists that I'm saying you can be inspired by.
Absolutely. And that's just the wonderful thing that this festival, Michelle, offers every year. First of all, can you believe this is the 8th year? It's become such a synonymous part of what High Point, North Carolina.
You're putting a mark on it.
Yes.
And that stamp on
That's right.
Because the level of talent
is amazing.
When we go to the Hollywood Bowl, is this the same lineup you would see there? Except listeners, get out and don't miss this, because we pay triple that price to get as close to the stage and have an experience like that musically. You know, I mean, we have our venues, but I just went and saw the venue today. We did a drive-by.
Speaking of experiences, Michelle, the beautiful thing is you get to see what Oak Hollow Festival Park is really like, that beautiful view of the lake that as you take the stage, talk about ambiance as we're listening to the beautiful sounds of Shea Welsh in the background. And to welcome those of you, radio family, who may be joining us, it is a very special edition of Community Focus. Joining me, Renee Vaughn. I just mentioned Shea Welsh, being joined by the one and only incredible Michelle Coltrane. Welcome to the area. This, like I said, I didn't talk about how
Thanks,
you were
Renee.
Just like an
Thank
awe of Diane Reeves.
Well, no, I was
Likely
doing my...
for me, you know. To be able, especially to have this chance to be in such great conversation with a member of the Coltrane family, such talent. And of course, you know, there's never any pressure when you just have a famous last name. But the fact, Michelle, is that you found your own niche in your career and still doing
perhaps
it.
Finding
still,
it.
Yeah, still finding it.
Constantly searching for that.
Exactly.
You know, that's another thing about the influence, you know, like when you first see some clothing on someone and you go, I want an outfit like that.
Yeah.
You know, or you hear, you know, I want to do a hairdo like that. Right. It takes it does take a while because it's kind of honoring. You know, at first absolutely. We do. You know, we're all mimicking kind of right. who we love.
But then also taking what you have and then shaping it into your own. So that
it's a maturity.
That comes along with it. So that years from now, someone else will be in this very spot where I am.
And where
another
I
artist,
am,
where you are and where Shay is, talking about the legacy of Michelle Coltrane.
Aw, isn't that sweet?
Oh, thank you.
I hope it'll be my children, because they're always going like,
yeah,
please, shh. Like, I'm trying to sleep. All right. I went exactly. to Ireland last year and yeah. I bought the little pipe, the little whistle, is that mm-hmm. what it's called? And I'm like playing a Titanic song. Wow. You know, and it was, you know, I just annoyed everybody,
yeah.
you know, with that. But
but after a while they're like, it's okay, we'll get used to it.
Yeah, I hope it encouraged them to continue
absolutely.
Learning, you know. I was lucky enough to you know, raise my children, stay home with my children. That was
right.
like
and that was a very important.
That's a
that was something
a luxury,
important for you.
You know,
yeah.
For women of this era.
Exactly.
And I got to be married. I got to spend time with my family.
Raise your family.
Then, as they got older, it was like, well, what if I could be? Maybe I'll be here for another 30 years. I had to kind of reset myself into, you know. Start myself into something that I had an affinity for.
Exactly.
So that's how.
Right. But the beautiful thing too, I think about it, Michelle, is your priorities were in such an order or way in which you saw what was most important. That was family. You knew music was too, but
I don't know how people do it.
I don't either.
I don't. I know
and
my mother was pretty pioneering. I mean, she was a widow at 29. We used to be in her car with the harp. In a station wagon, like up on the way to the seat. So we'd be in that little space, you know, before seatbelts.
Exactly.
So we were swarming all around the car. She's driving the car to Stony Brook College to do a gig.
Wow.
And it's like, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And kind of a chance to see what mom does outside of what you see mom doing
she,
at home.
Yeah, and that she didn't, but then she didn't, that was, I think she had one secretary job.
Yeah.
And then played a gig, and then that was
and
it.
That was
so,
it. Wow.
You know, in that time period when she went to New York, that was,
that
was it for her. And that was very lucky, you know, where today people try to make sure, you know, they may become a teacher.
Right.
Or like Shay has is he ever going to speak, or is he just going to stay back there in the corner?
I think he likes
I'm
the speaking, corner.
Speaking for him.
I think he
I know,
likes
the more
the
every time I mention his name, he leans
you're
back.
Right.
But,
just like,
you know,
I'm comfortable here. That's what Shay is
well,
saying.
Well, no, he's like
part.
A teacher too. Like
yes,
every
absolutely.
Kid in Los Angeles, and gets these kids into the you know wonderful colleges, and provides that you know. And his legacy is about teaching, but also he has the ability to come out and play.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's a balancing act.
And you know what, Michelle let Shay, if you feel free that if you want to contribute to this part of our conversation, is that one of the great things that is done every year is that, speaking of the kids, we actually focus on the students. There is a musical essay writing contest as to why kids either have a love for music, and especially those who have a love for jazz. And what we try to do is we really want to focus the input on the kids and their love for the arts. That's why I say it's just so devastating when you hear about school systems wanting to cut certain programs. That's usually the first on the chopping block. So that will be a beautiful opportunity for the two of you to witness firsthand, is to see the kids. And the nice thing about it is that they're given instruments of their own. So it's just a beautiful, yeah. So for you to be a teacher, I can only imagine that when your kids come and they're learning to play their respective instruments, just to see the joy on their faces of learning to play that first note.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to the conversation about letting this go from schools, because here's another way that I see this is, first of all, jazz and all, and instruments like the clarinet and flute.
Right.
I mean, you turn on the radio now or you're on Spotify, that's not what you're going to hear.
Exactly.
So you have to put it in front of you. It's just like history class. Kids aren't going to go there on their own.
Right.
But when you put it in front of them and it's exciting and they're learning things about, you know, you know, some new people that had really exciting lives. I remember Louis Armstrong's biography because I started on trumpet when I was little. Louis had such an amazing life, like down in New Orleans, and it was exciting for a kid. Like he was running around, like, you know, and yeah, all the crazy stuff he did in New Orleans, and it was just exciting and cool.
Yeah.
So I just think jazz and these instruments have to be put in front of you. That's the only way you're going to see it. And I'll put one more thing in. How many kids get up in the morning and say, "Woo, I can't wait to go to school to learn math"? You don't. But I remember.
It's part of the curriculum. Right. Well, you have to do it anyway, along with science and health. And.
But I was like you. I had my own trumpet. It was mine.
Exactly.
I was excited to go to school for that.
For that.
And then I also did math while I was there.
But
and
I was like Michelle mentioning earlier, probably my two favorite classes in addition to PE was music.
Yeah.
Because I was a part of the marching band. So after school practice to get ready for a Friday night football game when it was our time to shine during the halftime performance.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sitting there and you're in your wool uniform, which was terrible in the summertime, but come wintertime, it was perfect sitting in those stands and you're cold and you have a cup of hot chocolate. But then it's like you hit the field and it's like electricity in the air.
And it really is those things that make you excited about going to school.
Right.
And then you get all the other stuff while you're there. You the tough learning, the math and all. You take it in.
You're
happy to be in school because you're doing these arts and things that are exciting for you.
And it's also relaxing. It's not about being a professional musician. It's about
having fun with it.
You know, or painting or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that to give your mind another place to explore.
And Michelle and Shay, that's the one thing that we get to enjoy and seeing on the faces of the kids. And just a big thanks to the Friends of John Coltrane who place that focus on our young ones because they are the next generation of musicians. You know, that as the John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival continues, these are the kids on down the line that we're going to be hearing about. Like, yeah, I remember that young man or that young lady and whatever instrument they played. Somewhere down the line, we're going to hear about that person again.
You just sprinkle all the, you put all the instruments out.
Exactly. So looking forward to that. So a big thanks, and we have another gentleman actually who's joining us here.
Right.
We have Joe Williams in the house, so I'm going to wave to Joe and to say thanks on behalf of the Friends of John Coltrane for all that you do for the community, Joe, and especially for the young ones. The fact that they have an opportunity to see you, Michelle, and you, Shay, and all the artists who are going to be a part of our yearly two-day event. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Renee.
You are so welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Now, let me ask you this in closing thoughts or comments. Couple of things. First of all, you were mentioning taking a trip earlier. I did not know this until I read your bio, that you were actually born in Paris, France.
That's true.
What was that experience like? I mean, how long were you there though? Outside of, coming into the world.
I was as a baby. But, as you may know, a lot of jazz musicians went to Europe back in the 60s.
Exactly.
So they felt they would could get getting their recognition.
Right.
You know, so my mother happened to be one of those musicians that traveled. So
great.
Hence the name Michelle. Michelle,
that's right. Because I was going to ask, parlez-vous français?
Actually, we got a chance to go to France.
Did you?
We went to the south of France.
Wow.
This summer.
Nice.
A music convention called Midim.
Wow. You know, that's one of the awesome things, too, about being a vocalist or a musician. You do get to travel the world and see some fantastic places. And I think that's such the beautiful connect, not only with jazz, but music in general, is that it's so universal. You know, you can come to places like a High Point, North Carolina, then you can go as far away as Paris, France. And you still, even though it's two different groups of people, the love of the same style of music is exactly the same for most.
Yeah. It, culturally, the most beautiful things about every place is the food.
Yes.
And the music. Exactly. You know, like when I went to Cuba, it's like, yum. Mm-hmm. And then the sounds are great. So I think that I start there with countries or new places.
That you get a chance to see. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, again, welcome to the Carolinas, and particularly
both of them.
Yes, yes.
Both sides?
Both sides. You know, North and South Carolina, they just kind of go, you know. It's just a little bit easier instead of saying North. Carolinas. Yeah, just group us together. Instead of saying North and South Carolina, we just shortened it to the Carolinas. But particularly the chance that you and Shay will have in being a part of High Point, North Carolina. So we're going to officially make you honorary since you're going to be here. You're so welcome. And hopefully, Michelle and Shay, this will not be your only occasion, as hopefully Shay will serenade us out. As I want to thank you, Radio Family, for your listenership. What a wonderful opportunity to meet one of our many performers at the 2018 John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival. Let me ask you one final question, Michelle.
Just one more.
I think we have time for just one more. How do you think, as far as for either of your parents, for your mom, Alice, or for your dad, John, if they were still here and were able to see this, especially with a festival named in honor of your father?
I think that's pretty difficult. You know, they were both very humble. They were powerful in their artistry.
In their artistry,
but
right.
As people, they were very humble.
Very kind of low-key.
And all-inclusive, too, you know. Like, mm-hmm. Mama said, this is just what I play.
It's
okay if you want to listen to pop music or you're into this or that. So I almost hate to say that they didn't really become artists for the fanfare. Right. They kind of did it for, like, a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they just maybe felt that their calling, it's your calling, and your calling is what you do. And if it happens to work itself into being how you make your money, mm-hmm. how you earn a living. But in their case, honestly, I can say that they chose what they felt what they both were drawn to do was to, and through the music and their spiritual approach to it, mm-hmm. It just seems to, I would say that it doesn't go away. There's something about Coltrane that stays relevant, and I'm always asking people, even I'm kind of perplexed by it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's, I'm just happy to be a part of it.
We're so happy to have you here. Yes.
For that, and
wonderful. What's your leading for you? And if I may say, Michelle, for both your mom and dad, they realized that they did have a passion for the art that they both loved so very much. And thankfully, in their time spent here, they were able to use that given talent to the full.
Yeah, you leave. It's what you leave. It's, you know, even I even tell people who's, you know, everyone loves their family. Mm-hmm. Their dad was an accountant or worked at the car lot, you know, and it's the legacy is mm-hmm. of what that person left behind. And it's usually how they managed, how they, you know, showed their example of what they were in life. And if you're fortunate enough to be around good people, that's what you get. In my case, it's just kind of a little shinier with that. A lot of people know the legacy of.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
If we were just family, it'd be like Uncle Joe, Uncle Bob, you know. But I think the Coltrane, it's you know, it's kind of publicly kind of shared with many people.
Right. And Michelle, I think a lot of people would say you were just doubly blessed to have the talent in both your mom and your dad, and even with your brother Ravi and other members of your family, and who knows with your children. What they may be able to do.
Well, they're six grandchildren, so all get it. They all are encouraged to play music.
Excellent.
But, you know, it's their choice. You know, it's a lot of times, I think, when my daughter had lessons, she said, I had lessons when I was 6 years old, and I don't even remember. And it's like, well, aren't you glad she got where you got? But she's now chosen another path for herself. Right. So it's only our job, right, to encourage.
True. Right? That's true.
Inspire, encourage, exactly, and support.
Right. The and best way that you can as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, whatever they do in their life. I know naturally we're all lovers, a listener, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't find many people that say, I am. You say, you know.
Very true.
So
that's very true. Well, Michelle, no question, you're going to get some love and support with your time here at the John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival. Again, every Labor Day weekend, I think people just like, they look forward to this time of year because they know exactly
what's going to happen.
What's going to happen, where it's going to take place. Of course, the only thing that changes year to year is the artist lineup. But to remind folk that, Michelle, you take the stage Sunday at 5 o'clock. So get there, get a good
but
seating
get there
position.
Before that.
Oh yeah, way before that, to enjoy the
early
entire festival. Absolutely. Both days, if possible. But
yeah, that's a toss up. If you're lucky to come to both days, that's great. That happens with us on the West Coast for the Playboy.
Yeah.
Because it's always 2 days. So that's on it's usually around Father's Day.
Yeah.
And so
we certainly wanna
you want to come, but any day would be great.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, you know what? Incidentally, and Joe can vouch for this, we were just one day originally. And to now have the joy of having it 2 days. The last three years.
Yeah, you guys are brave because we used to do small, you know, we had a little Coltrane Festival and it was kind of like a local thing with college kids.
Yeah.
And to have to put that back up the next day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long weekend, but a long, beautiful weekend. And it's
great
that you have the Monday.
Yes, that's right. The next day off. But it's just a testament, Michelle, to how much this community has such an appreciation for jazz.
It's gonna be their star.
Yeah.
It's that star of the.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's right. And
it's a city off, you know, it's like communities are waiting for that. There's always music in LA and in Manhattan.
Right.
You know, it's like 10 different options.
Exactly.
You know,
so it's interesting great. You mentioned that because most people who come, it's usually in conversation. You know how we are with we get into a conversation with somebody. Well, where are you from? And it's so nice to have people to come to High Point, North Carolina and say they're from California or they're from New York or they're up from Florida or wherever they happen to be at the time. And they hear about it, and they're just like, what a beautiful way to put.
And the town wants it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, sometimes people like that small town feel, but now you've opened up the floodgates now.
We've put High Point, North Carolina on the map.
Here, right?
Exactly. But I don't think High Point minds it at all.
So
because
why do they have the names, like, kind of tied together? Like, I noticed that the hotel had that. They used the, you know, Greensboro, High Point, it's...
Right.
What's that about the borders? Was it like named one and then?
Yeah, what's comprised is the triad. Yeah. Now we're going to flip things around. I'm going to have to do some research, Michelle, and we'll have to
get back to that one.
Okay. So that means you have an open invitation
like
to come back.
The Hatfield and the McCoy thing.
Right. We just named
it both so everybody can get along.
Exactly.
And agree.
Well, the cities are just so close in proximity to one another. You know, you don't have to travel a great distance. Say if you want to go from High Point to Greensboro.
You could walk it.
Yeah, almost. There's a lot of road construction as of late, so there may be a few obstacles along the way. But there probably was a point long before we had the number of cars and, of course, the stretch of highway that
or
we have now.
Yeah,
that's right. The days of long ago, but definitely looking forward to these next 2 days.
Awesome.
Michelle, Shay, thank you all. Both very much. Welcome to the area. We are so looking forward to hearing from you and hoping that this won't be your only time that you come visit us here in High Point, North Carolina.
I'll be back, Renee. Thanks
wonderful.
So much.
Thank you.
And great to see you on Sunday.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to it. And likewise, radio family, we're looking forward to seeing you. So make plans. Do join us. The 8th annual John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival that will feature the one and only Michelle Coltrane.
I also have a album that came out. It's called Awakening, and Shay and I produced our albums at the same time.
Oh, beautiful.
And his is called?
Arrival.
Arrival.
We both pick A's.
Yes, I love it.
Well,
thank you both for coming here and and arriving in the studio be a part.
We're
of
awakening.
This special. That's right.
And we're arriving. That's all right. You can remember.
And we kind of had a play on words with this too, in that what did we say? Renee, Shay, and Michelle. We had some kind
That's
of
right.
rhyming.
Yeah, Renee, Shay, Michelle.
Yeah, I like that. You know, whoever has a child.
Keep those three.
If you're
names
having
in
one
mind.
Right now, right?
Exactly. So once again,
if you're in labor on Labor Day, how about that? Let's keep it going.
Woo! Now that would really be something else. And who knows? I mean, yeah. But then all you know, you never know. Anything's possible. Well, definitely a wonderful opportunity, a treat for me. So again, thank you both. Welcome to our community focused family. And what a beautiful way to bring our public affairs show to an end. Yes, the strumming at the end. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you,
radio family. With me, Renee Vaughn, there are no goodbyes. So indeed, just until next time, enjoy the rest of your day. And I'll talk to you again on the next edition of Community Focus. Take care.